I was raised by a godly dad, and he modeled for me the two sides of love, hard and soft. For example, growing up, I regularly saw him open his heart to all kinds of people. Regularly, I would see him meet a homeless person. Instead of walking by, my dad would stop, converse with them, learn their story, put his arm around them, and many times I'd see him put 50 bucks in their pocket and walk away. That just was him. He loved people. On the other hand, I learned about hard side of love. When I was in junior high school, I played football, and I would walk down the street for practice, and there was a guy in our neighborhood who was a little strange, and he always hung out at practice, and all of us guys thought, I hope he doesn't talk to me, he's weird. Well, on the way home one day, this guy wanted to talk to me. And so he asked me to sit down on the bleachers, and he immediately began to ask me strange questions like, you ever look at naked women? Want to see some? And my response was, I'm a Christian. I don't do that. Now, just about that time, my dad and mom pulled up in a car right next to those bleachers. My dad rolls down the window, and he says, Steve, get over here. I was glad to. I sat in the back of the car. Mom and dad turned around and said, what was he talking to you about? And I went, naked women. My dad was out of the car, across the field, and he said to that man, you, get over here. And he did. And I saw my dad, I don't know what he said to him, but he never, ever came near me again. That's the hard side of love. The same love that would open his heart to a homeless people would cause him to shut the door on a potential predator. Healthy love is hard and it's soft. If you want somebody to model this for you, look at Jesus. He had soft side, he had hard side, perfect balance. The scripture tells us over and over that we need to walk in truth, we need to walk in love. Now, you may have the same problem I do. I tend to lean one way or the other. It's hard for me to get it right all the time. Do you struggle with that too? Some of you may be really good on the soft side of love. You have mercy, you have compassion, you have understanding, you can open your heart, piece of cake. But you really struggle with the hard side, confronting, telling the truth, drawing the line in the sand. Now, others of you may be really good at the tough side of love. I can confront anybody, I'll tell you like it is. But you're really weak on the soft side. The Bible says that we need both, and we need them in balance. And so where do we go to get it? Well, here's some good news, followed by some bad news. The good news is God is determined to help us. He created us in his image, and that means we're made for relationship, like the healthy relationship of the Trinity. He's determined to help us if we have a relationship with him. And he's given us his word. If you want a manual on healthy relationships, the Bible is it. Now, the bad news. I've got a problem. My relationship with God gets blocked, and I get blinded to the insights I should be picking up in Scripture. And so I tend to be out of balance in truth and love. You know what my problem is? I learned three things. God's been hammering these three truths into me the last couple of years. First thing I've learned, the heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. That's my problem. I want it to be other people and circumstances. It would be great if that were the problem. And I usually think it is, but it's not. The heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. If you have a relationship problem today, you tend to think, if they would only get it. And God's saying, wrong answer. If you would only get it, you have a heart problem. Jesus said, coming out of the heart are all kinds of issues. And Proverbs says, from the heart flow the issues of life. So I have a heart problem. Second thing I've learned, there's only one power that will ever change my heart. Only one. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Christ. Don't go anywhere else to try to change your heart. It won't work. The only person who can change your heart and mine is Jesus. Now, I love what John the Baptist said about Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. I'll tell you what thrills me. Jesus Christ has forgiven all of my sin, past, present, and future. He cleanses me. But he doesn't leave me there. John the Baptist also said, this one will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ not only cleanses my sinful heart, when I trust him as my Savior, the Holy Spirit comes within me and gives me the life of Christ and gives me a brand new heart. Now, I've got a heart problem. Only Christ can change my heart. Here's the third issue, and I've overlooked this one for years. I have habits in my sinful heart. Everybody does. They usually show up in relationship problems because relationships expose my sinful habits in my heart. The only way to change the habits of your heart, the only way, is to replace it with a new habit. There's no other way to do it. And the way you replace it with a new habit is to keep coming back to Jesus in the gospel and ask him to put new habits in your heart. So keep that in mind as we come to Romans chapter 16, because Romans chapter 16 is telling us how to enjoy the people in our lives, how to enjoy the people God brings into our lives. And if we have people problems, the real issue is our heart. Our heart, not theirs, our heart. And the gospel changes it, but we need new habits of the heart. So Romans chapter 16 is telling us how to get these habits in our hearts. Now, healthy relationships, hard side, soft side, truth and love. It takes both. Last week, we looked at the soft side. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. Here's what we saw last week. It was a shocking passage, but when you first read it, it doesn't seem shocking. The Apostle Paul, in Romans 1 through 16, sends greetings, encouragement, and affirmation to 27 individuals. He obviously loves them. Here's what's shocking. These same people used to be on his hate list and his hit list. Before Christ, he hated Christians. He tried to arrest them. He hated them. And now he's saying to the same people, you're my brothers, I love you, I affirm you. Something's changed his heart. Here's what changed his heart. Paul kept believing the gospel. And when he did, it compelled him to connect with, love, and affirm others. That's the soft side of love. The habit of believing in Christ always shows up. It compels you to connect with, love, and affirm others. Now we deal with the hard side. And that's today's text, verses 17 to 20. The habit of believing the gospel, which changes your heart, puts a hard side in you. It demands that at times you stand for truth. You close the door. You draw a line in the sand. You say no. And you always have both if you have your habits right. So we're going to talk about the hard side of love today. Let's look at his commandment. The commandment is given starting in verse 17. And I put it on your notes, so let's read it together. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. First of all, put it in context. Now I urge you, brethren. He is talking to the church. He's not talking about the home. He's not talking about your neighborhood, your place of employment. He's talking to the church. And he's talking about relationships in the church. And he gives a commandment. It's got two parts. I urge you, brethren, in the church, keep your eye on. We get our word scope from that. I'm a hunter. I know what that means. I've looked through a scope. It takes a deer far away and brings him near. Scope it out. Be alert. This is not calling for a witch hunt. It's calling us to be alert for the health of the church family. Keep your eye on those who would cause dissensions and hindrances. His concern is unity. And there's some people that'll come into the church, want to take the steering wheels of the church with false doctrine, and with that false doctrine, it'll come in dissensions and hindrances, divisions. And the word hindrance means to stumble, to miss the gospel. And then he says, turn away from them. That's the second commandment. Now, it does not mean that I would never talk to them again, or I wouldn't eat with them, or I wouldn't pray for them, or wouldn't care for them. What it means is these false teachers have come into the church and they've been given a platform of influence. He's saying, cut it off. Turn away from them so they don't have that influence anymore, because it'll spread falsehood through the church family and you're no longer going to be united in the truth. If you have a Sunday school teacher, small group leader, ministry leader who begins to spread false doctrine and has a place of influence, confront them, love them, appeal to them. But if they don't stop, turn away, cut off the influence for the health of the body. Key phrase in here, you ought to underline it. The teaching which you have learned. What is he referring to? Here's what he's not referring to. He's not referring to the non-essentials of the faith. Now, how do I know that? Because Romans chapter 14 is a whole chapter where the church debates on non-essentials and they can't agree. Diets and days, translations of scripture, whether you homeschool or public school, they're all kind of secondary issues. He said, give each other grace and tolerance. That's not what I'm talking about. What he is talking about is the core central teachings about Christ, the core doctrines that can never be fooled with. And if somebody comes in and has a platform and starts fooling with those core doctrines you've been taught, cut them off. That's the hard side of love. You're doing it for the sake of unity in the church. These core doctrines, Paul tells us what he means. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It's the whole theme of Romans. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about Christ. Jesus said the whole message of the Bible is all about him. It's all about Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He rose from the dead. It's all about salvation in him, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Don't fool with that. Those core doctrines around Christ, don't fool with them. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, here's what Paul says. If anyone comes to you, even an angel from heaven, and preaches a different gospel than what you've heard, let him be accursed. Don't fool with the core doctrines. In the book of Jude, it only has one chapter. Here's what it says. I wanted to write to you about our common salvation, but instead, I'm going to write to you that you contend earnestly for the faith, that sound doctrine, that was once for all delivered unto the saints. For certain men have crept in unawares. False teachers are in the church. So a healthy church knows where to draw the line, to have their eye out for false doctrine and to cut off the influence for the sake of unity in the church. Why is that so important? Why is it important that we teach sound doctrine centered on Christ and everybody gets it and we have our eye out to protect it? Why? Here's why. Jesus said, if you are my disciples, you'll abide in my word and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Truth sets people free. Lies put them in bondage. And you get a church that's no longer centered on Jesus and sound doctrine and the truth, people believe lies and they're in bondage everywhere. And you're de-churched. You must protect this. Another reason that's so important is because these core doctrines are central to our salvation. Jesus said, if you reject him, you've damned your soul. So you don't play with these. You maintain a commitment to them. And unity, true unity in the church, is always built in truth, unity in truth. So here's the commandment. If some come into your church and they try to take over in their sphere of influence with false doctrines against the core doctrines, you love them, you appeal to them, you confront them, but if they won't listen, turn them away. No, not here. Can't do it. Now, look at the next verse. Helps explain it. Verse 18, the cause. For or because such men are slaves. Do you know that every human being is a slave? Everybody is a slave. Everybody has a master. It's either Christ or our flesh. Notice what he says. For such men, these false teachers are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. It literally means belly. They're following their own lustful passions, and on the outside they may look good, but this is what is driving them. And here's what we need to know. Whatever you're worshiping, whatever your passion is, that always shapes your perspective, always. And if Jesus isn't your master, then you'll pervert the truth. So he's saying such men are slaves, not of Christ, but their own bellies. And look at the evidence. With their smooth and flattering speech, stroking egos, saying pleasant things, but it's false. They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. It means gullible. You get new Christians into the fellowship. They're eager to soak in the truth. They're hungry to grow. But they're false teachers. And with their smooth and flattering speech, being unsuspecting, they take it in, believe lies, and mess up their souls. So the church has to be alert. What's being taught? Make sure it's core and central. And draw lines for the health of the body. The hearts of the unsuspecting. There's a little book called 2 John. It's only one chapter. There's 2 and 3 John. 2 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter. And it gives the case of a church that was so strong on love, they didn't stand for the truth. And let me read it to you. 2 John verses 9, 10, and 11. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, this core doctrine about Jesus, does not have God, and the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, do not give him a greeting, for the one who greets him participates in his evil deeds. You must put that in context. They didn't have church buildings. That didn't happen until 200 years later in church history. They all met in homes. And teachers would travel through and they would always stay in homes. That's where the churches were. If it was a false teacher, he was spreading that through the church. So what he is saying is, be alert. If it's not rooted in Christ, if it's false doctrine, close the door. Hard side of love. For the sake of unity and the health of the body. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 says this. The mature believer, because of practice, has his senses trained to discern good and evil. We are to be discerning. We are to know when to say it's wrong. Hard side of love. The book of Proverbs. Do you know Proverbs mentions 35 different kinds of people? It gives you the fool, the sluggard, the scoffer. And you don't relate to everybody the same way. You don't treat a biblical fool the way you would treat a sluggard or a scoffer. You have to be discerning. And you have to have hard love and soft love. Now look at the next verse. Verse 19. Here's the cure. This is heart and soul of what he's saying. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I'm rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The report of your obedience. That word literally means to hear under. You heard the teaching about Christ and you got under it. You submitted yourself to it. You're obeying it. You're in these core doctrines of the faith. And I rejoice over that. And then notice what he says. I want you to be wise in what is good innocent in what is evil. The trouble is, what does he mean by evil? And if we don't know his answer, we won't know what he's telling us. When it comes to evil, be innocent. When you look at evil, what we tend to think, oh, he means the list of the dirty dozen, the bad, that stuff out there that's evil. That's not what he means. The problem is our heart. The evil is right here. It's in here, not out there. And be innocent in it. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Out of the heart is where all the evil comes from. Your heart is the problem. In Romans 7, 21, Paul said this. I'm a Christian. I want to do what's right, but there's evil within me, and I tend to go the wrong way. Can you relate to that struggle? The evil is inside. 1 Timothy 6, 10 says, the root of all evil is not money, it's the love of money. False love of money, idolatry. That's the root. I've got a heart problem. So he says, I want you to be innocent in evil. Well, how do I do that? He says, I'm glad you ask. By being wise in what is good. You know, the epitome of goodness is a person. It's Jesus. Be wise in Jesus. Those core doctrines about the faith. Keep your eyes focused upon Christ, his death and resurrection. And that will change your evil heart. And then you'll end up obeying this. And you'll be standing for truth, but yet you'll have a soft heart. It'll be balanced. It all comes back to our heart. Because I've been here so long, I know the pastors in the area, and there's so many wonderful, strong evangelical churches in this metro area. And some of them model this well. There's one group of churches that took a stand on core doctrine because their denomination was insisting that they appoint bishops who were openly living sexual immoral lives. And they said no. We won't submit to that. And they kicked them out of the denomination. It cost them. They stood for truth. They obeyed this. That same church is passionate about reaching out to the community who's caught in the same lifestyle and love them and minister to them. Soft side, hard side, side by side. Another strong church, some of their teachers began to teach the false doctrine of universalism. Everybody's going to make it. You don't need Jesus alone. They were confronted. They dealt with it. They wouldn't repent. They cut off their influence. That was the godly thing to do. That same church has thousands of people on a pilgrimage who are welcome, who have all kind of questions about doctrine, but they're learning the truth. Soft side, hard side, straight together. In marriages. Unfortunately, through the years, I've worked with whole lots of couples where the marriages fall apart because the mate's in an affair. And if you get sinned against because your mate's cheating on you, how do you respond? The typical response is to run after your mate. Oh, come back, I'll do anything. Wrong response. Love and truth have to confront it this way. Two messages at the same time. First message. You can't have them and me. You can't. You have to decide. You can't play both sides. Second message. Nobody will love you like I will. Nobody will be more committed than I will. I'll do anything to change, but you must decide. Hard side, soft side. That's what he's saying here. Now, there's a promise in this text. Look at verse 20. It's a great promise. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. I love that phrase, the God of peace. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. But the God of peace crushes. It means to break in pieces, destroy. He'll destroy Satan. A lot of people don't even believe in Satan anymore. The Bible talks about it from beginning to end. Satan's a real being. He is a liar. He puts on a mask of righteousness. His aim is to deceive. His primary target is our heart. and to get us to believe lies about the gospel. 2 Corinthians says more about Satan than any book in the whole New Testament. You can do a whole doctrine of Satan from 2 Corinthians. It tells us this. The god of this world, Satan, blinds the minds of the unbelieving, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. He blinds them to the gospel. So what's our response to be? Pray for people. Love people. Preach the gospel. And pray that the blinders will come down. If the church doesn't hold tenaciously to the gospel, that core truth, it no longer has a message. It's de-churched and it's deceived. So the church must hold on to strong truth, but at the same time reach out with a heart of compassion. It's love and truth together. I've been to Israel a couple of times, and one of my favorite places is Caesarea Philippi in the north of the Sea of Galilee. It was at Caesarea Philippi that Jesus said to his disciples, "You are Peter." And the word means a little stone, a little pebble. You are Peter. And upon this rock, which means quarry, and when you stand at Caesarea Philippi, there is a quarry right in front of you. And at the base of that quarry is a place they called the Gates of Hades. For years, all of the false gods were worshipped there, and there was a cave there, and it used to be full of water, and they believed that that was the Gates of Hades. Here's what Jesus is saying. You are Peter, little stone. And upon this quarry of the team of apostles who believe in the sound doctrine and are united in truth and preach the gospel, upon this quarry, I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. What he's saying is this is an aggressive church united in truth, and you'll trace hell right back to its gates. I'll crush Satan. But I'll crush him when you're united in the truth and reaching out and loving people at the same time. Hard side, soft side must go together. So let's go back to where we started. Think about a relationship problem you've got today. Your first tendency is to think, I sure hope they get it because they're the problem. Wrong answer. You should say, I've got a heart problem. And my response to them is sinful. I need to change my heart. The only thing that'll change your heart is Christ. Don't go anywhere else. The gospel of Christ. And then when he gets a hold of your heart, it's habits of the heart. There's a soft side. If you keep believing the gospel, it will compel you to connect with, love, and affirm others. If you keep believing the gospel, there's a hard side. It'll demand you stand for truth, you draw boundaries, you confront. It's always both. And only if we keep going back and fixing our eyes on Jesus do we learn this. So let's take a moment today and look at our hearts. What have you done with Christ? Today, does he need to cleanse your heart of that sinful attitude in there? And does he need to fill you with the Holy Spirit and recommit yourself to his truth, but also be full of love? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that starting with me, we would be a church that is Christ-centered, rooted in the truth, stands firm on it, but also a church that is tender-hearted and compassionate and constantly reaching out. We want to be like Jesus. Lord Jesus, only you can change our hearts. And you use people to get our attention and to frustrate us and to make us pay attention. So today, Lord, we come to Jesus. Cleanse us, fill us, change the habits of our heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.